Paul Muad'Dib did not have a historical monopoly on creating fanatics, but he perfected the art. From the Mind of a Killer, a pamphlet published by Bronzo of Ix. Jessica had to take extraordinary precautions when she went out to meet Bronzo. Considering the mood in the Regency, she felt this might be the most dangerous thing she had ever done. It did not prove difficult for her to arrange for transportation from Erekine out to C.H. Tabor. She had connections and history there, and no one questioned her request to make a personal pilgrimage, nor her desire for privacy. She had done this several times before, and as the mother of Muad'Dib, was not to be challenged. Each day, a certain number of off-world visitors flooded out to the famed CH, like irritating dust blown on the wind, and transport thopters departed every hour, weather permitting. Before entering the crowded passenger cabin of the aircraft, Jessica had smeared her face and ragged clothing with dust and slouched her posture so that when she stepped off, surrounded by the swirl of others, she was just another pilgrim in a press of bodies wanting to see where Muad'Dib had made his first Fremen home, where Chaney had given birth to the royal twins, and where the blinded, broken man had vanished into the desert. At the CH, slipping away from the other pilgrims to gather the necessary items, Jessica altered her appearance to that of an ordinary village woman in a still suit and gray robe. When she departed an hour later, wearing yet another identity as a government inspector of weather stations, she journeyed aboard an industrial transport that flew high above the weather patterns, covering great distances to reach new terraforming stations built in a bustling base near the southern pole. From there, after assuming the identity of a man in loose desert garb, she piloted a small, unmarked ornithopter herself out into the deep Tanza Ruft, following the location coordinates that Bronzo had secretly provided.
"I need your help, for my mother's sake," Bronzo had said.
In her small craft, she circled over a wide expanse of whiteness, a salt flat that hinted of ancient seas on this arid planet. At the eastern perimeter of the flat, in a sheltered area of rocks, she found what she was looking for. The wreck of a spice factory amid veiny orange sands. The wind picked up, making the landing difficult, but she managed it anyway, after which she locked down the struts and stilled the vibration of the articulated wings. Several small dust devils whipped around the wreckage of the spice factory, circling, gaining strength and then fading. Little storms. Ghibli, the Fremen called them. As she stepped out, a tired-looking man emerged wearing a scuffed old uniform and carrying several weapons. He looked like a smuggler and wore a face mask, fitted in the Fremen fashion. The man stood silently, waiting for her to come to him. As she approached, Jessica became more certain of his identity, and for a long moment the two just looked at each other, before she moved forward to embrace Bronzo.
"It has been so many years.
With so many events, my lady, I would never have imagined life might bring me to this." His eyes were sharp as he twisted the fire jewel ring on his finger. "But I finally have good news. Come, I have to show you." With a surprising spring in his step, Bronzo led her inside the old spice factory and down a plazcrete stairway into an underground redoubt. She heard the wind whistling through the wreck above, the scour of sand like hissing whispers against the hull. Paul had this place dug as a bolt hole with barrier walls to keep worms out and to prevent sounds from escaping, Bronzo said. Jessica had heard that her son had secure locations such as this one on various worlds, places where he and his family could go if necessary, but she hadn't known where any of the safe havens were. He turned to her with a smile. "It was the perfect place for us to hide." "Us?" Bronzo led her into an austere metal-walled chamber with mauve chairs arranged around a central metal table that once must have been a mess area for a spice crew. Holophotos shifted on the walls, a succession of desert scenes. Tessia sat there, prim and motionless. Jessica drew in a quick breath, and Bronzo's mother raised her head to smile.
My son helped me escape from the Bene Gesserit. I knew he would come eventually. I waited for him, and the sisters never did understand how I defeated their guilt casting.
With real joy, Jessica moved forward to embrace her friend.
Tessia, I'm so glad to see you safe.
She looked at Bronzo.
How did you manage it?
I had help, the way I've managed everything so far. He sat down heavily in one of the mauve chairs next to his mother.
But she's not safe with me. You know the dangers I face, and I can't keep doing my work if I have to worry about her. That's why I called you here. Can you take her? Find a home for her on Caladan?
When I arrived at the Carthag spaceport, I ran a scan on my mother and found a Bene Gesserit tracking device implanted in her neck. I disabled it electronically there and destroyed it later. Even so, the Sisterhood may know that Tessia is on Dune. There could be danger for her. I need your help. Jessica weighed the risks, the consequences. She had come to loathe the Sisterhood and its unrelenting schemes, the way they sent tentacles everywhere. And Aaliyah hated anyone connected to Bronzo. This would not be simple, but honor, Atreides' honor, allowed her only one answer.
Of course I'll do it. I can arrange for secret passage back to Caladan.
Tessia sounded wistful.
Caladan. I'd rather go to my own home.
Bronzo's words were clipped. Caladan is a far better choice. Ix isn't safe anymore, and the Sisterhood might go looking for you there.
Yes. I liked Caladan. Romber and I were happy there.
Jessica immediately saw practical problems, even though she could not turn down the request.
She can't be seen with me, because Aaliyah will know you and I have been in touch. But I can keep your mother hidden for a few days, then arrange for her to travel to Caladan under an assumed name. The Bene Gesserits must never know where she is, and neither must my daughter.
Tessia smiled at both of them. A few tears of relief ran down Bronzo's cheeks, but he wiped them away.
I can't thank you enough.
Caladan is the perfect place for her.
We'll have to be very careful, Bronzo. Ultimately, her identity could leak out, and we don't want to bring down the wrath of Aaliyah or the Bene Gesserits on Caladan and its people. That is my priority as Duchess.
But for a while, Caladan will be safe, under conditions of utmost secrecy, until we can find a long-term home for her.
Give me a week to make the proper arrangements.
Perhaps Gurney could help. He was due to return with Duncan in the next day or so, and he could surely find a way to slip Tessia away.
I won't rest easily until I know for sure that my mother is safe.
Take her with you. But let me know when everything has been taken care of. He told her of an identity he would assume for himself and a secure place in a slum in the city of Carthag.
That is how you can reach me. And I always know where you are. Meet me in a week. By then we will have other matters to discuss.
Tessia had nothing to pack or carry. Jessica was already considering where she could hide the woman in Arrakeen for a few days. After Bronzo hugged both of them one last time, whispering a long and heartfelt goodbye into his mother's ear, Jessica led Tessia to the exit of the wrecked spice factory, and the copper-haired man bade them farewell. He looked as if a great burden had been lifted from him.
"Please be careful, Bronzo," Jessica said. "I always am."
As night began to fall out in the desert, the two women slipped away, crossed the patch of spice sand, and boarded the ornithopter. Jessica powered up the engines and lifted off.